kind of want to go up, stay up in the mountain again. I really enjoyed my time here at the convention, and it was a real blessing and to be here, and especially to develop a really nice friendship with Pastor Ben Biola. And we were just able to talk a lot, and I guess I'm going to have to try to do that down there in Costa Rica. The problem is it's not this nice road where you get to see deer and raccoons in the morning, and ours is a little bit rough going up to the mountain. But there is a point where we have to come down from the mountain, and we have to minister to people. We meet with God, and God does the work in our lives, but we have to give out. And one of the challenges that we have, or at least I do, is I like to try to make the message of Zion as concise and as accessible and practical to those that I meet. If we could see the first, the one, there we go. There's a formula in math, or an acronym. It's called LCD, lowest common denominator. And you try to find the lowest common denominator in fractions. And the multiples, there are many multiples that you can find, many numbers that coincide, but you try to find the lowest common denominator, or the least common denominator. And basically this message is trying to do that, trying to reduce what is the message of Zion, or the vision of Zion, and how can I make it concise in explanation? By that I mean so that anyone can understand regardless of where they live. And talking with Pastor Ben, we were talking about some things and circumstances around the world, and he says, you know, he said, the U.S. is really sort of an anomaly, and meaning the most of the world does not live and have what we have. Roughly a little over 3 billion people live under with less than $2.50 a day. 80% of the world population, this is statistics you can find on the internet, Google it, live with less than $10 a day. And so that, you know, we might wonder, how can we live like that? How could they live like that? And so the world is a lot different than what's around us, what we're accustomed to. Where I live, the Indian reservation, there's two tribes, Bribri and Kavekar. There is no word in their language for throne. So how do you give the message of Zion about kings and priests and thrones when that does not exist in their language? And so at least for myself, I'd like to try to make it as concise as possible so that no matter where you are, no matter what tongue, tribe, nation that God would send you, with anybody in whatever walks of life, you would be able to concisely explain what is the message of Zion. Then also needs to be accessible to everyone. It needs to be something that is attainable and where no one is excluded where they live. So that it doesn't matter what jungle tribe they're from. It doesn't matter whether they are the Eskimos in Alaska. You know, it doesn't matter. But it needs, the vision, the message also needs to be accessible to those tribes. If there's going to be kings and priests from every tongue, tribe, and nation, then it has to be accessible to even those that have no primary education. You know, recently they discovered another tribe in the Amazons. Last year they discovered another tribe in the Amazons. And I thought, the first thing that came to me is, who's going to go there? Who's going to translate? How are they going to get this message out? And then it needs to be practical. It needs to be lived out daily. In other words, it needs to be experienced by anyone, regardless of where they live. So someone who lives in the jungle, someone who has no education, needs to learn how to live out this message as well. And so, if we could go to the next slide, I'd like to talk about encapsulating the message of Zion. Now, that's a capsule. You know what that is. And it's not a pill, you know, to get better, but it's trying to put in that capsule form what the message of Zion is. So can we go to the next slide, please? And so using the acronyms LCD, lowest common denominator, I applied it this way, living Christ daily. Living Christ daily, the message of Zion in a cap, C-A-P, capsule, that is concise, accessible, and practical. So hopefully you remember that. Capsule. Every time you look at a little capsule, you'll think, oh, the message of Zion, the vision, in a little cap form that's concise, is accessible to anyone, and is practical. So let's talk about concise. Psalms 85, verse 5. Now, if I'm going to explain what the message is, I've really got to get down to its core essence. And Psalms 85, verse 5 says, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Now, we use heart as the center of our being, but in some countries, it's their liver. You know, I love you with all my heart. You know, Pastor Stephen can say that to his wife. I love you with all my heart. But in another country, it wouldn't be the heart. It'd be, I love you with all my liver. You know, and we think that's strange. But what we're trying to get at is, what is the heart of the message? What is the heart of what God wants? And it comes down to that Zion is a heart issue. It deals with relationships. See, our heart is what we feel. It's who we are. And we talk about these, you know, let's have a heart-to-heart talk. That means let's really open up. Let's just share from my heart to your heart. And Proverbs 23:26 says, son, give me your heart. Now that's the desire of God. God desires a heart. Some other cultures, it might be their liver. Son, give me your liver. Give me what is your life. Give me who you are. So when we're explaining what the message is to someone, what we're really trying to say is, give who you are. Give the core of who you are to God. That's what God wants. He wants who you are. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy or not. It doesn't matter what language you speak. God wants you. God has a plan for you. In Psalms 27, verse 8, I like this translation because when I looked at it, I realized, and that's why I put in some, added some things in, it's really like the Lord speaking to us and us responding. Psalms 27, verse 8, my heart, that is the Lord's, said to you, that's me and you, seek my face. So the desire, the heart of God, his yearning is that we would seek him. See, that's heart to heart. That's a relationship. And I replied, your face, O Jehovah, I will seek. So there is a yearning from God to share his heart, to give who he is to us. But he wants that in return as well. He wants that in return as well. Proverbs 8:21 says, I love them that love me. I love them that love me. God loves everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But there's also a love that God has for those who love him, that draw near to him. So as someone responds with their heart to God and they open up their heart to God, God's going to open up his heart and respond the same way. So let's look at the other another slide. Psalms 26, verse 8. Now we're talking about how do we make this message concise? How can we encapsulate it? So Zion is a heart issue or a liver-to-liver issue. Heart-to-heart, liver-to-liver, depending, again, on what culture you're at. And Psalms 26, verse 8 says, Lord, I love the dwelling place that is your house, the place where your glory resides. Now, every culture, regardless of language, has a home, a place where they live. Whether it's a house in the trees, whether it's something on the ground, whether it's a boat on the water, but someone has a place where they live and where they dwell. And David said in Psalms 27, verse 4, one thing I have asked from Jehovah, it I will seek, my dwelling in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the delight of Jehovah. So now everybody understands what it is to dwell in a house, to be in someone's house. And here the psalmist is saying, Lord, I love where you dwell. I like your house. And then my desire is I want to dwell with you. And so this speaks of a relationship. When people think of a house, a home, what comes to your mind? Maybe your mom, your dad, years growing up together. And so there are memories of what a home life is like. It's a place where you have protection. It's a place where you have provision. It's a place where you can sleep. And so the psalmist is saying, Lord, I want to be where you are. Now Joel 3:21 says, for the Lord dwells in Zion. And sometimes you won't, in some places you're not going to be able to use the word Zion, simply because of what that means today in today's world and culture, in different cultures. And so you have to present what Zion is, what is the essence, what the message is, in a way that people could understand anywhere. And what better way to say, well, you know what? God has a house. God has a place where he lives. And he would really like for you to come and live with him and dwell in his house. But there's one thing you have to do. You have to ask him. You have to seek that. So now that's a relationship. You have to seek to go to his house. So let's talk, just summing up what it means, concise message. It's a heart-to-heart relationship with God. And it is found in his house. There's no more intimate place to be with someone than in their own house, sitting at their table, eating their food with them, and sharing heart to heart. And I think that is something that any culture can relate with. Don't you agree? I think so. Hospitality is something that the Arabs are renowned for. It's an honor for them to have a guest in your house. Even where I live in the Breebridge, you go to their house, they'll give you a glass of water. They'll give you a little Kool-Aid, a cookie, or something. It is part, they understand that. So now let's look at accessible. Accessible. And let's look at the next slide. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, he raises the poor up from the dust. He lifts up the needy from the trash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. Another version says, he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts up the needy from the dunghill to cause them to sit with nobles. Yea, he causes them to inherit a throne of honor. Now, if it's going to be accessible, it's going to have to reach even those, and if you've ever lived in some of the countries or been to some of the countries, there are literally trash heaps, dumps, where people live. You may not see the homeless, you may not see beggars on the street, but You go to Central America, you go to other countries, you will see them. And so the message has to be accessible even to these ones. And the Lord has even a special promise that even those that are born, for example, in the dump heaps in Mexico, in Honduras. And if you ever gone to those dumps, you can smell them a long distance away. And when you get there, there are shacks. And people actually live there. They go and they dig. They grab the pieces of metal, food. They live off of that. And they sell. And the Lord is, and they sell that for their sustenance. And God is saying that He is even able to take the most lowly person on the face of the earth, and He's able to transform them and cause them to sit in a place of high honor. Now, some cultures don't have the word throne, but I do believe that almost every culture has an aspect of what it means to honor, to have a place of honor, whether it's a chieftain, whether it's a prince. Some way they have the concept of a place of honor, someone who has a position or a place of honor over them and or in the community. And so God is able to raise these up and give them this place of honor. Now, we know what crowns are. And there is a saying, crowning achievement. This is my crowning achievement. But I'd like to look at this from God's perspective. What are crowns from God's perspective? Now we're talking, you and I, those understand thrones and crowns. But from God's perspective, what does it mean for Him to give us a crown? A place of honor. Well, one of the definitions for crowning achievement is the greatest accomplishment of one's life. And from God's perspective, you and I are called to be His crowning achievement. In other words, I have taken your life from the trash heap of this world, and I have transformed your life into the likeness of my Son Jesus, the King, and made you a king unto myself for my glory. And so the thought of being crowned, really from God's perspective, is saying, I have been able to work in your life, in our heart-to-heart relationship, as you have sought my face, as you have allowed me to respond, as you have responded to me, and I have begun to work things out in your life, and a little bit of me is imparted into your life. The crown is really God saying, this work I was able to finish. It is a testimony to what God has done in our lives. And one day, I saw this from His perspective. And I began to understand that to have a crown, to not have a crown in heaven meant that God was not able to have all His way in my life. To not have a crown in heaven means God, for X reason, was not able to complete the work. The crown is like the icing on the cake. You really can't put icing on a cake that's incomplete, can you? You ladies know that. And so God is wanting a heart-to-heart relationship with us so that we can be like a well-baked cake standing before Him. And then He puts the icing on, and that's the crown. See, we all like the icing on the cake. And it's like God saying, this is the icing. This is my crowning achievement. I crown you. I am so pleased. I've been able to accomplish all that I wanted to do in your life. Now, James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "How blessed is the man who endures temptation." How is this crowning going to take place for someone who lives in the jungle, someone who's homeless, someone who's on the street? How are you going to explain to him how you can work this out in your life? "How blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he has passed the test, he will receive the victor's crown of life that God has promised to those who keep on loving him." Another one says, version says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, because having been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to the ones loving him." And so this thought is that as each one of us goes through life, there are things we're going to have to overcome. So how do you tell this to a guy who has no education, he lives in the jungle, but he comes to the Lord, and how do you teach him you got to overcome? Well, maybe he goes fishing and has a whole nice three or four fishes that he caught, and he's ready to take those, sets them aside, and he's going to take them to his, you know, to his family. And someone else, when he doesn't, is not paying attention or doing something else, comes by and steals those fish. Now he has to overcome the temptation to get angry, to get back with him, at him, to fight. And so in every circumstance of our life, it can vary, but there are things that we need with his help to overcome. Now, the thought of being accessible is, I want us to look at 2 Chronicles 9:8. And I just rapidly want us to look at this, of what Sheba said to Solomon, so that we can understand from God's perspective what he wants to do in our life. 2 Chronicles 9:8, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which, number one, delights in thee." That's relationship. See, God delights in having a heart-to-heart walk and relationship with us. And God delighted in Solomon, and because of that, he set him on his throne. Not his own, that's God's throne. It's just delegated. It's not mine. And he did that to be king for the Lord thy God. That's accountability. See, we must be accountable. We will be held accountable to God for the authority that he gives to us. And Jesus said, "It's the Father's good pleasure to give thee the kingdom." Now there's relationship. There's something that is given that's not mine, and I have to be accountable. See, we can teach this to anybody. Learning how to be accountable to that which does not belong to us, and it's because we have a relationship with someone. And we can take that in everyday life and say, now that is how we have to be with our life with God. And then she goes on to say, because, that's the motive, God loves Israel. God is love. And he wants you now, Solomon, to love his people as he did, to establish them forever. Therefore, he made thee king over them. And then he made you king to do judgment and justice. And see, everyday life, we can learn to do what is right and teach others how to do what is right. So it's concise. The message is concise. It's a heart-to-heart relationship. We dwell in his house. We want to dwell in God's house. But it's also accessible. It's available to anyone and everywhere. And then practical. In Matthew 25, verses 31 to 40, for lack of time, we're not going to read the whole thing. But I was really touched by this, or really impacted by this. When Jesus comes back, he's going to divide the nations before him. He's going to sit on his throne of glory, and he's going to divide them. And what is the criteria that he uses? What is the criteria? He says, "I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me." Then the righteous will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you naked?" And then the Lord says, "When you did it to the very, very least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." You see, in the practical aspect, if a man says, "I love God," 1 John 4:20, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And so it's not just our relationship with God, me and God, but it's really my relationship with God with one another. Now see, anybody can understand that. Yeah, I don't see God. Well, how can I feed him? But you feed him when you feed someone who is the least of his brethren. You know what I like doing in convention? I like going and knocking the pastor's doors and saying, can I get you coffee this morning? Well, yes, Curtis, thank you very much. Says Pastor Daniel Cameron. I run down and get him his coffee, bring it up. Well, you know, it says in the Word of God, if you give a drink to one of his servants or to a prophet, you won't lose your reward. I said, I know, that's why I'm doing it. You see, it's very practical, but we're ministering. As we minister to one another, we are ministering to the King, and he takes notice. 1 John 3:7-18. For whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then Paul sums up in Galatians 5:14 that all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now Jesus summed up in Mark 12:29-31, he summed this up. All the scriptures, all the commandments, all the laws and all the commandments, he summed up into two basic things. And it says in Mark 12:29-31, Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You see, it all boils down to my relationship with the one that dwells in his house in a place called Zion. So it's my relationship with him. And it has to do with my relationship with him through my relationship with others. See? It's not just me and God exclusive of others. No. My relationship with him, but my relationship with him. Because the criteria that God uses to separate the nations is, you fed me. You clothed me. See, it's very practical. You can teach this to anyone. They can grow knowing, wow, if I love my neighbor and I love my brother who I'm having a difficult time in church, but if I love him and I do good to him, I'm doing good to Jesus. He takes notice of that. And so loving one another, serving one another, is also loving Christ, serving him. You know, Jesus said to Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul, why do you persecute me? And Jesus divides the nations at his return, and he qualifies the sheep and the goat nations by how they treated him. By the way, the least of his brethren were treated by everyone else. So, two more. So, the message of Zion in a capsule. Concise, accessible, and practical. So, what is it? And summing up, let's go to our last. It's concise. I love God's house, and I seek to dwell there. That's relationship. It's accessible. I want to be crowned. I want to have that place of honor. You can have a place of honor in God's house. You can be his crowning achievement. So there's a motivation to say, I want him to say that to me. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that's relationship. And then it's practical. How I treat others is how God perceives that I treat him. And that's relationship. And so, what is the message of Zion? It's all about relationship. Our relationship with God, our relationship with one another. Now, obviously, there's much more to this. But we're looking at trying to share this message in a seed form, in a capsule, that anyone could capture it and get the essence of the message and begin to live it out day after day. See, it's living Christ daily. Letting Christ live through us on a daily basis. And being able to bring that to a level that even those that are in the trash heap, those that are the beggars, those that are the homeless, would be able to capture the message and the vision and get hope in their lives to know that number one, God wants my heart or my liver. Two, I can go there. It's accessible because he says he'll raise me up to a place of honor. See, and three, it's practical because it can be worked out by my relationship with you, my relationship with you, my relationship with you, because it's a heart issue. It's the condition of my heart towards God and the condition of my heart towards one another. So, the message of Zion in a capsule. I trust you've been blessed with this. I pray that it will be... It will stir you to find ways that you can put the message of what it means to be in Zion, to have a vision of Zion, but put it in a way that is concise, accessible, and practical to anyone and everyone on the face of the earth. God bless you.